today on Real Life Radio.
And if you have a good marriage, work harder at it. If you have a great marriage, you have to work really, really, really hard at it. But God created marriage to make us holy.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, friends, listen up. This is a very, very important plea. And it's not a plea for us here at the Real Life Network. It's a plea actually for you. We are living in remarkable moments, remarkable times, and you literally need the Real Life Network to be able to be available to you in an instant. In fact, we have just been meeting on how we can reach you live 24/7, 365 in the event of an emergency, in the event of a crisis. How can you connect with us and get biblically based, honest news in light of what's going on in the world around you? RealLifeNetwork.com. We cannot be canceled. And for this reason, now we see the clarity of why God brought us to do this channel in the first place. RealLifeNetwork.com. Sign up, subscribe, get ready. We will literally be broadcasting the truth to you.
Sign up for free at RealLifeNetwork.com. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with a series called Life and Bible, and a message, being Christian while being a wife. In God's concept of design, we'll see how the husband and wife and marriage and family were all created and defined from the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us many things about what a Christian marriage should look like. One is that a Christian wife has been given a high position in life as a woman of power and has the unique responsibility of holding a lot of titles. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that a Christian wife defends her husband and covers him with prayer, whether he's at home or on a business trip or traveling abroad. Her mission is to minister to her husband, and her love leaves a special imprint on their home. Now, with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Wife, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I may get mail about this, but I don't care. If you live for her, you're going to get messed up. If you live for him, you're going to get messed up. If both of you live for God, you're going to do just fine. You want to know why? Because you've got your eyes set on him, the author and the finisher of your faith. You're running towards him, both of you running together. You're going to wind up all your life's journeys being shoulder to shoulder until you get to the end. And that cord will not be undone. God says it's not going to come apart. For some of you tonight, you need to make Christ the center of your life. You've tried everything else, but you haven't tried him. It's amazing. Proverbs 31:31. Listen to this. Proverbs 31:31. She has a unique ministry. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. At the city gate. Did you know in Proverbs 31, it says that the husband goes to the city gate? It's a Middle Eastern cultural term. The men would sit and do the judging of the city, the conversation of the city, the relationship of what was going on. They would pass edicts and rules. It's where all the big guys met. He's there talking. Proverbs, he sits in the gate. Well, wait a minute. It also says here, 31:31, that her work is spoken about in the gate. What does that mean? It means that the husband says, have you guys seen how incredible my wife's job is doing? I mean, back then they would say, did you see that? I mean, she is cranking out the coolest donkey baskets you've ever seen, or whatever it was. She makes the best fruit, or has the best wine, or the best whatever. The book of Proverbs 31, read it later. It's all about her hands. She works. She's up all night. She's ministering to her kids. None of her family's cold because she knows how to knit, it says. And her husband goes to the city gates, and what does he do? He brags about his wife. Proverbs 31, read it. It's awesome. We need to do that more, guys. Well, I don't know, Jack. My wife, I don't know. She hasn't made me a fruitcake or anything lately, and I don't know about anything like that. You know what? Why don't you just calm down, mister, and start praising her and take care of her like that? It's amazing. Number eight. Oh, we're doing good. We're on time. Number eight, a wife has been given a unique defense. kind of touched on the thing I mentioned a moment ago. A godly wife provides for her husband in a way as an amazing shield against this world. Number one, jot it down if you can. Number one, she defends her husband against spiritual enemies. How? I tell you what, you guys are reading the book, The Power of a Praying Wife. Wives, pray for your husbands. Are there things you, I don't know, it's possible. Are there things that you don't like about your husband? Pray. You say, no, I was thinking about, you know, taking this course or sending him to camp or something, I don't know, but maybe he'll change. And that's great, but listen, the greatest thing to do is to get on your knees and pray against the spiritual forces that are coming against your life. The Bible says they're real invisible forces. Number two, she defends her husband against physical enemies. And I don't mean she fights your fights for you. I'll just say that their marriage is tight and strong. And when the world comes knocking at the door with flattering lips and flapping eyes or eyelashes and a sweet little talk, you know what? That husband can say, you know what? You can just head on down the street because you don't know what we got going on here. And then third, she can defend her husband against enemies, foreign and domestic. And what do I mean by that? I mean that the defense that a woman has been equipped with by the hand of God can protect her marriage, even if this guy's called away on a month-long sales trip to Miami or he's deployed in the middle of Afghanistan. He can't wait to get home. Ladies, you have that incredible power, and I call it a defense. I don't mean a defense in the way of an attack. I mean a defense to ward off the evils that come against your life in your home. Number nine, a wife has been given a unique mission. And as a wife, listen, as a wife, you're not your husband's maid, and you're not his mother. You are his wife. You like that? I wish I made it up. I got it out of a book. It's in that book we're reading. It's in The Power of a Praying Husband. Stormy O'Mardian says, listen, your wife is not your maid and she's not your mother. If you wanted that stuff, you should have stayed home. The Bible says a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. He doesn't go from mommy and then over and gets married. What is that? You be nice to me, I'm gonna call my mom. Can you imagine? If you're mommy's boy tonight, that's gotta stop tonight, okay? Your wife is your lover, she is your partner, and God has ordained it so, and so you make it work. You just make it work. But ladies, your husband is a unique mission, and you have the unique mission of ministering to him. Galatians 2:18 says, and the Lord said, remember, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The word is what God, you know what scripture, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's a decree of God. He is serious about that. Woe unto any person that separates a marriage. Wow.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then number 10, and we're done here. A wife has been given a unique touch. Wives, your home has your fingerprints all over it, and I mean that in a great way. I'm not necessarily talking exactly, although it's very important to many people. The way that your home looks, or the way that it might smell, or the way the decor is. I know that some people, they just, you know, it's the goal of their life, and it's just wonderful, and that's great too. People have different personalities. It doesn't matter. Guess what I'm saying is it doesn't matter if you live in a tent or if you live in Volano over here. If there's love in that house or tent, people know it. Amen. And when there is not love in that house or tent, people know it. You can smell it. And I don't mean stink. You can just smell it. You can feel it. You can feel it. And a Christian wife has an amazing ability. You know, you've heard this old saying that when a woman, I really don't know what it means exactly, but when a woman starts to nest, have you ever heard of that term? I see heads bobbing, yeah. I think it means when she wants to make a home. Is that what that means? Somebody help me out here, quick. Well, whatever that means, have you ever, I can assume where that term comes from, because we used to have chickens. And you see a chicken, and when she wants to lay an egg, let me tell you, she goes to work, and she's got stuff, and she's got branches and sticks, and she makes this little nest, and she's got her thing going, and she's moving around, and it looks like a tornado. And then when she's done, she sits down. And it's actually comical, because she just looks so happy, so totally content. And I'm not joking. Maybe some of you people have chickens. We went to the farm supply. This is way back and whenever this was, forever ago, 20 some odd years ago. And we told the guy, our chickens lay eggs in the morning and they lay eggs in the afternoon, twice a day. That's what? We have four chickens and by the end of the day, we got eight eggs. And this guy's going, that's not happening. I'm telling you, it's happening. I don't think it's anybody sneaking in there and putting eggs under them. And another guy came by and he said, listen, do they have a cage and a coop and they have this? Are they free to run around the yard? Yep. Do they go in the coop when they're ready to lay an egg? Yep. Are they well fed and watered? All the time. The guy said, you know what? I said, what? He said, they're content. If they're content, they'll lay twice a day. Isn't that amazing? A woman has a heart to build a home and to make it her thing. All right? Listen, that's been given to you by God. And a husband appreciates that. The Bible says in Titus 2:3, the older women, this is church life right here, the older women, likewise, listen, this is what should be going on in every church, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given much to wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, Jack, are you kidding me? This is the 21st century. That's insane. Oh, okay. Then don't read Titus 2 verses 3 through 5. Go do it your way. Oh, see, the culture's already done that. I'm not saying here that a woman has to stay at home. I'm not saying that. In this world that we live in, it's difficult. But listen, the Bible's very, very clear that the older women, they've already gone through all this stuff. Maybe the older women are even widows. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But are you an older woman? If you're an older woman and you've said, yeah, man, I've done that. We've been married for 400 years and all this stuff. And you know what? Hey, listen, we can use you, ladies. There are kids who are married. I say kids. They're 20 years old. They had a horrible home example. They don't know what they're doing. They love their husbands. The husband loves the wife, but they don't know. Well, what do we do? He grew up as a foster kid and I came from a divorced home. The Bible says, get the older women who have gone through all this stuff and get them plugged in with the younger women. That's church. We need you. And imagine if you save by doing that one marriage. We have mentoring couples at this church that minister to couples that are struggling. What a great thing that is. And here we go. And this is the last verse. A woman has a unique touch. Esther. Did Esther not have a unique touch? Wow. Esther chapter 5 verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and she stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And so it was when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. Guess who did that? The Lord put that in his, just went. He looked at her. Man, there's Esther. And the Lord just did a number on his heart. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter, which if you didn't lift it up, you die. Right there. If he didn't lift it up, you're dead. He lifts it up. She approaches. She drew near to the king and touched the top of his scepter. He loved her. And she communicated to him, I love you. And she spoke to him. Wives, you have an amazing, challenging, no doubt, tremendous task, but I want to encourage you. A lot of people are bailing out. You know this. Across the nation, suicides are up. Marriages are under pressure. No money. It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot less expensive if tonight you decide to make your marriage work. And if you have a good marriage, work harder at it. If you have a great marriage, you have to work really, really, really hard at it. But God created marriage to make us holy. God created marriage to make us more into his image. And that's why tonight, if there's any kind of a rift between you and your husband, you and your wife, you feel like someone's cut your arm off. You don't feel whole. Hey, look at the upside. You're one flesh. You got to get back together. Make it work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And maybe tonight there's some healing that needs to take place here in this house. Father, I pray that if there's a woman in this gathering tonight who just does not sense her value, her worth, that tonight somehow by your wonderful grace and mercy, she would begin to think even, just if she began to think, God, do you love me that much for real? Is all those scriptures true for me? I want you to think about that for a moment. Maybe tonight you're here and you are engaged in a relationship. It's not necessarily bad. It's not that you should throw it away, but you know what? Maybe you should slow down. Maybe there's some things that you need to see happen because we're talking about both of you, your lives forevermore. Just slow down. Get some things resolved. Maybe it's her temper, or maybe it's his view of money. It doesn't matter. Just review some of these things. And then maybe tonight, you're here and you have never heard that Jesus loves you. That the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You guys, that's not religion. I get kind of irritated when somebody says, oh, you're a Christian, you're religious. Well, there are Christians who are religious, and then there are people who have a relationship with God and they follow Jesus. And I'm inviting you tonight to have a relationship with the living God. Well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please be praying. Father, I pray that you'd come upon these wives here tonight and fill them with your spirit, fill them with hope and with that view from heaven's perspective of their value and worth. And Father, for husbands tonight, that they would leave this place divinely touched by you, that his wife is to be prized and desired more than gold and more than diamonds, more than pearls. Tonight, right where you're at, rededicate your marriage to the Lord right now. Tonight, right where you're at, say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. God of the Bible, speak to me if you're real. Listen, my friend, if you're here tonight and you don't think he's real, then what's the big worry? But why don't you just try it? He's been waiting this whole time. Ask him. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. Show me. Speak to me. Don't be afraid of him who loves you so. Father, we just ask you to bless the marriages in this church radically, powerfully. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Remember back in the day, we used to go vote in one day? It was one day to vote, right?
That's when the dinosaurs ruled.
It was a long time ago, I gotta admit.
Sadly, it seems like a long time ago. It really wasn't that long ago, if you think about it. But here's the amazing thing. I know this is going to be really offensive to the young listener, but Davey, for about 230 years,
right.
We voted on election day, and by about midnight that night, we had a new president, or a new senator, or a new congressman, new governor.
Yeah.
When did we find that out? 3 months later? 3 weeks later?
No.
Guess what? Oh, wait, but you guys voted for months, right, in advance?
Nope.
No. We voted the day of.
One day.
Yeah. The day.
Yeah.
Guess what? You guys think you're so smart, you little youngins, you. you guys think that voting's difficult? Might I remind you, Dinosaur David and I, that for over two centuries, the American voter voted and we knew the outcome within hours.
Yeah.
And then technology gets involved and a type of new way to count.
An alternate counting.
A new and improved woke way of counting that we have become so, mom and dad, cover your kids' ears, we have become so stupid that it takes us a month to vote and then 3 months to count the vote. And then, like I just read in Orange County, where we hang out here in Southern California, Orange County had 122% Democrat voter turnout.
Imagine that.
How do you do that? Here's how you do it. It takes months to figure that out. Oh, my goodness, everybody. What is wrong with us?
Yeah, back in the day.
And then we tell Iraq, we teach Iraq how to vote. You know how they did it? They voted in Iraq in one day. They stand in line, they vote, and then to make sure they don't cheat,
right.
They dip their thumb in purple ink so they can't vote twice.
Yeah.
God forbid that should happen in California.
It's true. And if you couldn't make it to the vote, for some reason, you were going to the hospital or whatever, you didn't get a vote.
You didn't get to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remarkable. People, we need to wake up. We've lost our minds. But it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, we stood in line.
We stood in line
to vote.
And listen, we either went to, this is what I did.
Right.
And I worked in Newport Beach and I live in Chino Hills. Mm-hmm. That's a long drive. I would get up on voting day. I would go stand in line before work. Mm-hmm. I would vote and then I would drive. Or if I couldn't make it in the morning, after work, the polls were open till 8.
Yeah.
You stood in line and voted.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you. If you were in line and the polls closed, doors shut.
Yeah.
And you might have been that next person.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's 8 o'clock, doors closed.
Done.
And you went home saying, boy, I better do better 4 years from now. Not kidding.
True. It really happened that way.
And there was none of this rioting in the streets and throwing bricks and all this junk. People, we've lost our minds. Why? Because we, I think, have lost our God.
Have you ever noticed that way back in those days, there was no such thing as carrying a sign saying, not my president.
You know what? Back in those days, a Democrat and a Republican would have beat you up for saying that.
It's true. Is God more inclusive and sin-friendly than he used to be? Or have we simply lost sight of who he truly is? In The Eclipse of God, Pastor Erwin Lutzer reveals how today's culture has destroyed God's image, making him more palatable and unrecognizable. This bold book will help you rediscover God's unchanging truth in a world of confusion. This November, Pastor Jack Hibbs is featuring The Eclipse of God, and it's available as our featured resource for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.